Good afternoon. This is Richard Dayoub. I'm the president and CEO of the Greater El Paso Chamber of Commerce. Welcome to another episode of El Paso Primetime. Today, we have the privilege of having some special guests in our studio today. We have Scott Atkins and Michael Guerra, both who represent a newly formed organization in our community, a civic organization known as Progress 321. So the first thing I want to do is welcome you both. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Richard.
Welcome. So either one of you, if you wouldn't mind sharing with our audience how we came up with the name Progress 321.
The name came from several brainstorming sessions, and we're certainly not marketing folks or advertising folks, but we wanted to do something that represented the region and what we were trying to do. So Progress 321, the 321 comes from making three states and two countries one great place to live.
That's great. I love that. When I read the article in the Inc., I thought, you know what, that's a very clever approach. Mike, would you mind just kind of giving our audience a little bit of a background as to how Progress 321 came to be?
Sure, Richard. You know, there's over the past, there's been several young civic organizations out there, young individual civic organizations out there that that people could belong to. But there was, as some of us gathered together and we started talking about how there was a little bit of a gap of that. To fill that need in the community, and started to talk to other young people in the community, and everyone echoed that thought and saying that there's a need and a desire for individuals in the 40 and under range to get together, convene, talk about different issues, make connections. And so we said, you know what, why don't we do this ourselves? We're not trying to duplicate or replicate what anyone else in the community is doing, but simply provide that venue for individuals in that generation to get together, develop projects, develop ideas, and give each other support to move forward.
Yeah, and to add on to that, Richard, you know, one of the things that we saw is being from here, and even being from here, coming back into the community can sometimes be a difficult transition. If you've been away for a while and you're trying to find yourself and as a young professional here, certainly we found that those that have not lived in El Paso before and are transitioning back, them and the spouse, it can be a very difficult transition. So not only did we want to have a venue for those people to help network and get to know other young professionals in the area, but really get involved in the community, because I think if they take part in some of the initiatives that we plan on doing, if they're able to get involved and see this community progress, they're going to more likely stay.
Thank you. So we have a few in this room too, but among your group, you have several who are sort of the founding members, the idea of folks who decided to pursue this. Would you mind telling us who some of those other folks are?
Sure. The founding members of the group at this point are Emma Schwartz, Scott and myself, Omar Yanar, Rod Ramirez, and Luis Mauricio, and Langetti, excuse me.
Yes. Who was the other name?
Luis Mauricio, yes. So we have a spread of the ages. We have also representation from different parts of the region in there as well. And it's really been a great group that is very motivated to carry this idea forward.
Great. Thank you. So moving on, I have to touch on this, even though we talked about this off the air briefly. You're going through some processes right now to get fully organized. So we would be remiss if we did not give some credit to another organization in the community who's helping you get started, and that would be?
The El Paso Community Foundation, without a doubt, has been an absolute godsend to us, to simply with the knowledge base, the experience that they have, the logistical support to be able to get this project off the ground has been phenomenal. They have opened their doors and opened their arms to really helping us establish this group in the right way, making sure that everything is above board, is where it should be, and we want to make sure that it's done correctly, and they are going out of their way to make sure that they're providing those resources to be able to do so.
That's great. Well, of course, even though you're a professional investment advisor these days, you did have a strong background in the nonprofit world.
I do.
For those listening who don't quite get the inside joke, Mike was a longtime employee of the Greater El Paso Chamber of Commerce for years before he decided he wanted to make a real living and go out and go in the private world. But the point of that is you did pick up some tips on how to manage nonprofits and dealing with the IRS and filing documents that you're required to file in order to not get into trouble, like those annual Form 990s and things of that nature, right?
No question.
So some of the other logistical processes that you have to go through, you were telling me, Scott, is you're in the process of hiring an executive director.
Absolutely, and that's going to be really critical to our organization because we're all volunteers, and so we've got limited time that we can contribute to this, and we all wish we could do more, but our daily jobs get in the way. So the executive director is going to be a driving force in this organization, I think, what will really help make it successful. Not only is it going to be the main point of contact with our membership and the communication point, but also that full-time staff that's going to be driving the initiatives that come out of our membership. The ideas that then become committees, and that staff person, that full-time staff, is really going to be doing the day-to-day work to help drive those ideas forward.
So will they be officing in the Community Foundation offices, or have you found a home?
The Community Foundation has been great. Again, they're providing us with all sorts of resources, and they have offered to provide us with some temporary space. But actually, Lane Gaddy, one of the founding members, is setting aside space in his couple of his new developments that we will have a permanent home in. So meeting space for the membership as well as office for the executive director.
That's great. That's wonderful. So I'm going to put you both on the spot. This is not like I'm not trying to. This is not a. There's no submarine effort here. There's no grenade about to explode.
No torpedoes.
But I no torpedoes. But I would like to know if you have gotten far enough along in the process to have developed a mission statement or a vision statement for the organization. I mean, you don't have to quote it, but maybe in general terms.
Yeah, we have, and The founding objectives that make up that mission statement and the goals within the organization are one, to provide great deal of support for and economic development, quality of life issues, provide a venue for which individuals can convene and meet each other and give each other support for certain projects. One of the additional objectives we want to do is to tie those individuals who are contributors to this organization into other organizations within the community. We want to be a convener of groups, and we want to have those connections with other organizations such as the Chamber of Commerce, such as Borderplex, to make sure to support what is existing out there. There are an incredible amount of important projects that are in process right now that our contributors feel are important to our community, and we want to be able to help continue to support those while also filling the gap and providing the support for new projects that individuals bring up. So that's a little bit of a long explanation to a simple question about a mission statement, but all of those components really make up what the objectives and the goals are of the organization itself.
That's very helpful. And just, I say with a smile on my face, which unfortunately our listeners can't see, but many organizations, we've all been a part of them, develop a mission statement / vision statement and then ask anyone who works there, let alone the volunteers, to articulate what that mission or vision statement is. They can't do it very well. So I'll give you kudos. You did that well. I think it gives our listeners a pretty good idea. Scott, tell us a little bit about, because we didn't talk about this yet, and assuming that folks maybe didn't see the story that was in the paper, tell us a little bit about the age range of your target membership audience.
Yes, certainly. So we do have a focus on that under 40 crowd because we are a young professional organization. We're trying to develop that, but we have not limited it to under 40. We have what's called a mentor category, which is that over 40. And we think that is critically important in the advancement of these young professionals. And so what that allows for is a lot of ideas to be stemming from these young professionals that will then turn into committee works as we get more and more members that say, yeah, I think that's a great idea. I want to be part of that. And we support that committee. What we're hoping for is that in our mentor group as well, they're going to come in and say, you know, that is a great idea. I'd like to be participating in that. And then what you have is young professionals working with veteran experienced professionals in the El Paso market to help drive these forward. And we think it's an incredible learning experience.
And you actually have, before you officially became Progress 321, you actually already had, because of the work you've done in the past, the so-called spade work, you've kind of put together a pretty good size starting group of members, correct?
Yeah, we do. As of, well, last count a week ago is 65, and I know of at least five more that have joined since then, and that's just that have contacted me.
That's great.
So I think our goal is 100 before the end of the year, and I think we're going to actually surpass that. But when we started this, it took a while, and Richard, you know, because we came and talked to the chamber, what we wanted to make sure is that we weren't duplicating efforts. We went and reached out to a lot of organizations out there. But also to figure out how much interest there was, we had several networking events. We had about four different events over the span of a little over a year in which we invited young professionals from our various networks to come get together and say, would you be interested in this? Is there a need for this? And we developed a list of over 350 individuals from just those that had attended that said, yeah, I mean, they were interested enough to actually show up and attend the event and express interest later on. So we certainly think there's a need out there.
And I'll echo Scott on that. I was absolutely blown away at the amount of people who gave almost instant approval to wanting to at least learn more about what the group was doing. It was the speed at which it happened and the momentum that happened from that was absolutely phenomenal.
Well, you know, timing is everything. We've heard that phrase forever. But in reality, that is very true. And what I've seen in El Paso, as a member of the not young group that you are, but what I've witnessed is the momentum in this community right now is just, it seems to be ideal, not only for what you're trying to accomplish, but for the whole community. You see it in almost every walk of life throughout the city, no matter whether you're from Northeast El Paso or Far East or the Lower Valley or the West Side. There is finally, and I think part of that credit goes to a lot of the young leaders, too, of whom I'm speaking to in this room, who have strived to get El Pasoans to start believing in themselves and see the energy then begin to grow. When this recording is played, it will already have been a few weeks after the day we're recording. And today, I just will point out sort of, As a date and time on this recording, October the 28th, we hosted the State of the County address with the county judge as the keynote speaker. What I noticed in her remarks, which were very well spoken, very articulate speaker she is, but also what I noticed in addition to her remarks was the audience and the engagement of the audience, despite some of the challenges that we will always have. Every community does, and some of the obstacles they've recently overcome. I probably have her on in a few weeks to talk about these things with her as well once everything is settled up. Needless to say, a part of the conversation was surrounding the UMC and the Children's Hospital situation, which thankfully is getting resolved. She spoke to that. But what I saw in the audience was there were a lot of people of your age group actively engaged. And then I see seated at our table was Vince Perez, one of the commissioners, another young man of your generation. Claudio Ordaz was there, Peter Schwarzbein. And I point that out because what we're starting to see is what we've needed to see. I'm speaking as the last generation, always wanting to see young, bright, committed people like yourselves becoming engaged in the community to make it better and to transition ourselves from that old smoke-filled room kind of mentality that used to exist. And I think we're getting there.
I think you're you hit the nail on the head. And what we've experienced with the discussions with individuals, those contributors who are joining the organization, was that they're not willing to compromise the progress that we've already experienced. They aren't willing to give that up. They are even more encouraged by what has been happening in our community, and they want to be a part of it. They want to contribute. And they have great ideas about what can happen in our community and what they want to do in what those next steps are. One of the parts of this group that we have that we've echoed and discussed with those who are interested in the organization say that we want their time, we want their effort, but we also want their ideas and their energy to move those ideas forward. If an individual, one of the things that will drive this group is the ideas that those individuals bring to the table. But one of the catches that I kind of say with that is, in order to bring one of those ideas to the table, you also need to bring the energy to make it happen. You don't have to be the architect to build every single thing, but you need to be a participant in that. We as an organization, as a whole, we can almost guarantee that we'll find those other individuals in whether it's in Progress 321 or within the community that can help those projects move forward. But those individuals need to be a part of the plan as well, and we'll help them make that happen.
Yeah, and it's I think important to mention as part of this too. It's really getting those young professionals back in and involved. But we talk about that under 40. Well, you look at several of the founding members. We're approaching that 40 mark, and so
yeah, it's been pretty scary. Yeah.
Well, but what it goes back to is Mike and Emma and I had several conversations because we were all very active within the Paso del Norte group, which was a member-based organization. And within that, they had the Young Leader organization. And so that was, we all looked back and think about it, very, very instrumental in our success in our business lives. And so we looked back at when we had started in that 10 years ago, and the success that we had as it related to our careers and the projects that we were able to accomplish and the success that we had through the organization as well. We said, you know what? We need this. We need an organization like this that other young professionals coming back and get involved in and experience that same success.
I think that's great. I've been very pleased with the whole concept of it and how you're pursuing it. You mentioned earlier, Scott, that we had spoken, the Chamber had spoken with your group, Lane and you in particular, and of course we embraced you and with open arms and even offered you an opportunity to somehow be connected to the Chamber in a more official capacity. But honestly, I think the direction you're taking now, at least for now, makes a great deal more sense because it gives you the autonomy, that ability to decide for yourselves. As I travel across the country, I'm on national boards for chambers. And when I sit with my colleagues, most of whom look a lot like me, chronologically, right, the conversation almost always circles back to relevancy. How do we as a chamber industry remain relevant to the next generation who do not necessarily view meetings in the same way that our generation does? And I actually made not a speech so much as commentary a few weeks ago while I was in Washington about this subject and used Progress 321 as an example of a better way, I think, certainly another way to do this rather than having the chambers in those respective cities come in and say, well, we'll take charge of this and you'll be the young leaders group, just like we used to have years ago the Minority Business Council and other sort of adjunct organizations attached to the chamber, but without really that freedom and that autonomy to do what they want to do. And by the way, make the necessary mistakes that they will obviously make. We all do, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like raising kids. I know you're already starting that process, but
yes.
As you get to the stage where my kids are, the hardest thing I have to share with my wife is the conversation about don't overcoach, let them go make their own mistakes because they're going to do so anyway, mm-hmm. whether you want them mm-hmm. to or not. And so you just kind of have to give them that opportunity. I think to some extent there's a play here, except that you guys after now college many years behind you and careers getting started, and then that network, that safety net you provide each other to be able to sort of bounce ideas off of one another, I think is a great way to approach things.
And one of those things that we've talked about, Richard, talking about the goals and objectives and the mission, really in that foundation of this organization, we've woven flexibility. We want this organization to remain relevant to whatever other subject matter it wants to discuss or approach, or even projects it wants to encounter, or even organizations it wants to partner with. We think that is incredibly important, because there are different organizations that are important to different people out there in the community, and we want to be able to work with all of them. That's why the flexibility of being able to adapt to different projects, or flexibility to be able to work with other organizations, is absolutely paramount.
Yeah, and I think the flexibility, it's kind of interesting. It's absolutely critical to us as we see this moving forward. It can be a little difficult because people come up and say, well, what exactly are you going to do? And it's tough for us to describe right now, because we don't necessarily have specific initiatives at this point in time. We want those ideas to come from the members, from those that are going to be involved in the organization. And they're actually contributors, not members.
Contributors,
you need
correct.
To find that.
So
yes.
I'm going to step beyond my responsibilities and my authority to say to you, so that it's now for posterity, as the chamber who heads up Leadership El Paso, I think there might be a role for someone in your organization to participate. Well, of course, you do directly, Michael, through your involvement on the curriculum committee, to have a role, though, for the Progress 321 as a part of one of the components in the Leadership El Paso program. I think it just dovetails together. So that's my official, unofficial offer that you can take back to the curriculum committee and say, well, Richard said this on the air.
Well, and that's a perfect example of existing projects or existing activities that we would not want to replicate, but simply want to add whatever we can as an organization to enhance what is already happening.
Yeah, and it's getting those young professionals back involved as well, because you've got young professionals that are either moving back to El Paso or moving to El Paso for the first time, taking jobs. They don't know what programs exist in town. So if we can help match them and take their interests and match them with existing programs where you have a need to get more young people involved, then that's a win-win.
Super. Well, we have a limited amount of minutes left before the show ends, so I want to make sure we cover some other quickly critical points that perhaps our listening audience might want to know. If I'm a young professional and I'm looking for a group to join and I want to look at Progress 321, why don't you tell our audience what it's going to cost them to join?
Sure, absolutely. Well, and you can find us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page up, Progress 321, progress321.com. The website will be up and moving very, very soon, within the next couple of weeks. So you can find us through those mediums. But if you're going to be an under 40 contributor, it is $500 a year is the annual commitment. For those that are over 40, it's $1,000. We also have corporate sponsorships at various levels. And if you're under 40 and the $500 is too much, but you want to put in sweat equity, you want to get involved, contact us, let us know. We do have scholarship type opportunities.
So the over 40 group, which I fall in, is that the mentorship group?
That is.
That is.
And that's $1,000.
Correct.
So I want to be sure I'm having fun with you. So I get to pay you $1,000 for the benefit of being able to provide you advice?
That's correct.
That's pretty good.
That's it, yeah.
That's right.
I like that. Yeah. Well, thank you for that information. So until you hire your executive director and officially announce it, the best way to reach you is either through the website when it comes up, or to go to your Facebook page.
Correct.
As an over 40 guy, can I like your Facebook page?
I hope you do.
Absolutely.
Can I friend you on Facebook?
You can like it. You can and we hope that you'll be a participant in future activities as well. We are in the initial stages of planning a soon to be announced session to have some strategic discussions about direction of the organization and projects that we will launch at the beginning of the year. So it's a great time to be involved. It's a great time to express your interest as an individual, as a contributor, as a corporate entity as well, to provide the support.
So we have about 3 or 4 minutes left. here's an opportunity for both of you to sort of provide our audience any sort of closing thoughts that you have that you think are relevant to this conversation.
Our community is experiencing phenomenal growth, phenomenal change. And for me personally, it's been incredibly exciting to be a part of that. One of those things that we talked about before is the need to keep energized young people involved and help them connect with the community to continue to push forward those ideas and those initiatives. And we are looking forward to meeting all those new people that want to get involved.
Richard, you know, I left El Paso almost 20 years ago. And when I left, the mentality of those in my high school was there is no future here. And they were ready to leave and never look back. I moved back a little over 10 years ago. And El Paso, when I moved back versus what it is today, is night and day. It is so exciting what's happening in our community, to echo what Mike had said. And what we want to do is make sure we continue that momentum forward. So if you like what you're seeing, if you're excited about this community, the prospects that we have, which I think are unbelievable what we can be as a region, then get involved. Talk to us.
I think that's wonderful. Thank you. So again, just to articulate who my guests are today, we have Michael Guerra. And I don't mind giving you guys plugs. So you're with Guerra Investments.
Correct.
Right downtown. And Scott Atkins, you're president and CEO.
Yes, correct.
Curry Atkins.
Yes.
Which is a technology company.
That's correct.
I've been in El Paso for a number of years. And
41 years.
Tremendous reputation. I want to thank you both for joining us today on the show. Just to touch on a couple of sort of homework notes I've been given by the producer. I want to remind everyone who listens to the show and who listens to KTEP through either your interest in what we have on KTEP or on the NPR through our affiliation with NPR, that this is a radio station that is funded by your contributions, your generosity, and our community. We're closing in on the end of the year. This show should air, I think, on November 21st. So that's right, knocking on the door of Thanksgiving and then Christmas, which is an excellent opportunity for all of you to consider writing a check, which is tax deductible, to KTEP to help them with their efforts so they can continue to provide you with quality programming throughout the year. I think we have about another minute or two left before we end. 1 minute, I'm being told. So this might be too quick to answer, but just a suggestion on my part. As you look at other opportunities to engage in the community, I hope because you are young entrepreneurs, you'll begin to look at an area that does need help, and that is in the world of incubation for new businesses, to help, you know, be a mentor to those young business individuals who really need a lot of guidance to help them navigate their way through a pretty crazy world. I think that's all the time we have left. So again, I want to thank you both, Scott and Mike, for being on the show.
Thank you, Richard.
And we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.